Okay, there was some action taken in closed session by unanimous vote. Ying Her, let's see if that by unanimous vote, okay, the board rejected the following claim. Claimant is Ying Her and a minor. And their claim against the Marysville Joint Unified School District. Okay. The vote was unanimous. And now let's turn it over to our student representative to the board, Michelle.
Hi. Good evening. I'm sorry about missing the previous meeting. I had obligations for Legally Blonde. Okay, so Legally Blonde, this is the Marysville Charter Academy for the Arts. Legally Blonde, we just finished a two-week showing of the musical Legally Blonde on March 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th, 18th, 19th, and 20th. This is by far the most highly attended musical we've had in a long time. Students, teachers, and parents are preparing for our next theater production, Alice in Wonderland, which is showing on April 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. We also have a senior showcase that is a performance put on by the senior class and will be happening on April 8th at 7 p.m., which you are all invited to. The dance department will be holding a spring dance recital in May. The theme is a tribute to Michael Jackson. The students in all dance classes have been tasked with student choreography assignments in which they auditioned last week in order to get into the show. There's a parent meeting this week for 8th grade promotion party and the senior class luncheon. Prom is coming up soon in May. The junior and senior class have been working hand in hand to plan out the dance. The theme is Masquerade and will be held at the Laughing Lotus venue in Marysville. There's also a promposal contest. The winner will receive free tickets. The SWAT team, or also known as the Students Who Are There team, have organized tutoring sessions with with students and peer tutors for those who are struggling in math every Thursday. And then PTSA is holding our Walk for the Arts fundraiser on April 5th during our 9th block schedule. First place winner will win a 16-gigabyte iPad mini, and the first place class would win a class party. With every $50 that a student brings in, they get a chance to throw whipped cream pies at a teacher or staff of their choice. Money fundraised will go towards program support, senior scholarships, and field trips. So if you want to sponsor me, hi. I'm just kidding. And then that is it. The music department will be going on their music trip to Great America in a couple weeks. I didn't write it down.
Tour, all right.
Totally.
All right, then who gets to throw the pie?
Students do. Who would like to volunteer?
If I could throw the pie.
Oh, yeah. Why not? If I raise another $50, I'll give you my other pie.
Okay. Comments from board members. Mr. Danimal? Okay, Mr. Crawford?
Just everyone have a safe and productive and fun spring break. We'll see you when you get back.
Mr. Boone? Mr. Rasmussen?
So I think it was a week or so ago I got to attend the Marysville High School Ag Day and was able to be shown around by Hannah Dunn, one of the FFA members. She's actually the secretary, a junior. They done a wonderful job to go around and actually explain each one of the booths. Had the opportunity to go out and look at the barn and the greenhouse and everything that they're growing, and both plant and animal out there. And then I asked her the question, what have you learned the most out of being an FFA? And she thought about it for a minute, and the two responses were being able to do public speaking. She said before FFA, she would have never been able to walk around and give me a tour of the facility, and also leadership skills. So, you know, just thinking back about what Future Farmers of America program does for kids is really those leadership qualities that, that we try to instill in all of our students.
Okay. Mr. Fleury?
Last week I went to the National Nutrition Breakfast Week at Ellis School. And then afterwards, next 3 days later, I went to the manager's meeting to thank them because I noticed that they really make a connection with our kids. You can see at the different schools I visited, they come through the lines, they know the kids by name. A couple of the principals have said they really make a connection with these kids. I was amazed at the manager's meeting looking around the room. Some of these people have been with us for years and they've been really dedicated employees, and I'm also amazed at the agenda that Amber has to follow. There's so much regulations coming down now. But our nutrition assistants and the people that work in, they really are making a connection with kids. And when I visited also Foothill, and Kathleen Hansen, I asked her, who do you have that goes above and beyond? And actually, they have an award there they give for somebody that goes above and beyond. And she took me to the wall and showed it to me. And she said, who we have that I would say that goes above and beyond? She mentioned the nutrition, how they've connected with each kid. Then she said also Loma Rica Church, the youth pastor, comes over every Friday and they bring people and they work with kids, connect with kids. And then she also mentioned the fact that recently they lost the seventh, eighth grader up there, Hayden Elliott. And she said he had really inspired the kids for the way he was despite all his challenges. She said he was an inspiration to this school. And then also she mentioned the other one was her literary technician. You can see she's really got the kids reading. I was there at recess time. That library was jammed even though it was a beautiful day outside. And so she said these are the ones I would feel that goes above and beyond. Also at Edgewater, they had their jogathon. Well, I also went to Browns Valley afterwards, and they were having the jogathon, and they had all the community, many of the community there. It was amazing. And then at Edgewater, they had their jogathon, which I have like a granddaughter going there, so I'm there almost every day just to drop her off. And I did go watch the jogathon. I did not realize that they got a new track, and it was put forth by partially the district volunteer, but a lot of community members volunteered, and they built a beautiful track out there. And that day there was 126 parents that went, and you could see the community was really involved. And as I visit the schools, I can see the community involvement is a real piece that makes the school work. It's been that way for years. And I see a lot of community involvement in our schools, and we're very lucky that we do have that because it'll help us be more successful. And I applaud our principals for doing that.
I like Jim, I went to a number of schools on the National Breakfast Week or whatever it is. And it does. It just amazes me, especially at Marysville High School, the amount of different things that, you know, our staff, our cafeteria has to put out. I think they cook from third grade through high school or something, and they have to have different lines and different food. And it's just amazing that what your staff and what the people at all these sites do. And I agree with Jim. You know, they were coming through, and the people at the cash register or at the point of sale knew all of their names. I mean, it was so nice. I went to three or four different schools, and they were all, even if they were crowded, pushing, you know, and working to get out, they all knew their names. It was just amazing. And please tell your staff what a great job they do. Thank you.
Everything I can say has already been said, so we'll leave it at that. Okay, opportunity for employee organizations to address the board, Marysville Unified Teachers Association.
Hi. I'm not asking for anything except hopefully some signatures. Really easy. And there's a petition that CTA, NEA, all of us folks are trying to get an initiative to be on the ballot. It's in a nutshell to extend Prop 30. I think that everybody here would agree that helped us out. I have a little flyer here that shows what we got because of Prop 30. In 2012-13, it was $10 million, and then $8.9 million in 13-14. So we've gotten almost $20 million we would not have had the voters not voted for Prop 30. So now there is an initiative, we're trying to get qualified for the ballot, called the Children's Education and Healthcare Protection Act of 2016. I have lots of information on it, and I'd like to hand that to all of you. And then I have the petitions themselves, and I can stay afterwards so we don't have to take any more of your time if you'd like to sign to get that on the ballot. And that's all I have.
Operating Engineers Local number 3. California School Employees Association 326 and 648. Association of Management and Confidential Employees. Supervisory Unit. I have no public comment cards, so that'll bring us to the superintendent's report.
Thank you. This evening, I have a couple of upcoming meetings that I have prepared a handout, so you've got it with you. It'll also be in your Friday notes from my office. We are looking at Wednesday, March 30th, 6 p.m. You may have read about it in the newspaper at McKinney. Chief Easton from the Marysville Police Department is going to be talking about the increase in gang activity in the city of Marysville and how we can work together to find community solutions. And then Thursday, the 7th of April, a similar presentation, but this time given by the Yuba County Sheriff's officers listed there, will be at Lyndhurst High School gym at 5:30 p.m. And then just a couple of other things to make sure you have on your calendar, because we don't want to have a shortage of meetings. It is spring. April 19th, we will be having our next Master Facility Plan Board Study Session from 2 to 4. And then Wednesday, the very next day, because we seem to be doing things back-to-back right now, we have the LCAP meeting. So for those board members that are on that committee and anyone else who has an interest to see the results of the survey that has gone out to garner input on what folks would like to see for next year's LCAP plan will be discussed at that meeting. And then finally, because it seems like someone always has something to sell, our Education Foundation is doing the Dine Around Town and More, and so I have tickets, and site principals have them as well. This is our premier fundraising event for this year. In lieu of doing the wine and dine, because that takes a lot of time and effort. And we all said, boy, wouldn't it be nice if we could sell enough of these tickets that we could do it every other year. We have $650, which will be in the form of $50 gift certificates for 13 local restaurants. And then this year we've added 11 other prizes. So it can be anything from a $200 Union Lumber gift card to Courthouse Cafe is offering a monthly lunch for a year. So a number of things here. Tickets are $20 each, and if folks buy $100 worth, you get an extra ticket for free. So if you're interested, you can either see me, because we are keeping score, or you could see one of the many site principals or district managers. They'll be having them as well. And that's my report for this evening. Thank you.
Well, how could you resist that? You know, like, okay.
We'll see.
Well, that brings us to approval of minutes. If there are no additions or corrections to the minutes, we'll entertain them. Mr. Crawford moves to approve the minutes. Is there a second? Mr. Rasmussen seconds. All those in favor? Aye. Any nays? It's unanimous, I think.
Oh, it's coming down.
Oh. Another one? Yeah, everybody's awake now. Should we take one of each or what?
No, it's just one. No, the yellow one's on the bottom. Stay here.
Let me give you those two.
This is for you. Okay.
Okay. The minutes were approved unanimously. That brings us to the consent agenda. If there's any comments on anything, or if anybody would like anything pulled. If no one would like anything pulled, the board will entertain a motion to approve. Okay, Mr. Fleury moves to approve. Is there a second? Mr. Daniel seconds. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any nays? Unanimous. That brings us to new business. And Marysville Charter Academy of the Arts. State of California Educator Effectiveness Funding Plan and Budget for the MCAA.
Yes, hello everybody. When we did the Pledge of Allegiance, it made me think of Michelle Yang, our board representative, who leads the school every single morning in the pledge. And she always does a great job, never misses school. But anyway, the Dine Around Town also, the funds raised for that has helped our school in many ways. For example, we just recently got enough money because of the mini grants to get the strings class new uniforms, which we do appreciate, so make sure everybody purchases those. And why am I here? I forgot. Sorry, just kidding. It's the Educator Effectiveness Funding Plan for Marysville Charter Academy, which is very similar to the district. We're actually kind of backing on that, but our portion is, because we're a charter school, we get divided out, and it's based on FTEs. But if you look on page 58, I think it's 58, I don't have that packet, you can see a table there that shows how that money is being spent. We have a total of $30,724 to spend over the next 2 years, not counting this year. And I'm very excited about this when I heard about it, because the beginning teachers really could use some extra help, and this is something that will really help in the classroom. And I think the person that you all have chosen is probably the best person you could choose, and I think she's going to be very, very effective. So anyway, you can see how it's lined out. Most of it's professional development based on year one and year two teachers. There's also a mentor teacher that will get some training in addition to the facilitator, but I don't know if I'm supposed to point that way. I assume everybody knows. But anyway, what I'm really excited about is all the professional development, but also the ongoing year-long, actually two-year-long, classroom visits and demonstrations and meetings with the teachers to help them. And the thing that also will make it even more effective, I think, is the fact that it's not tied to the evaluation process. So the teachers, I think, will gain even more trust with this person, and I think it'll be very effective. So I was wondering, are there any questions there?
It's interesting to me that the growing body of research confirms that the quality of teaching is what matters most. Mm-hmm. We couldn't have figured that out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, without all the research.
Right. Right.
Okay.
Say it again.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Okay. Do
we have a motion? Mr. Crawford moves to approve. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Rasmussen. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any nays?
Aye.
None? Unanimous.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Okay. We need to hold a public hearing on board policy 6152.1, placement in mathematics courses. The purpose of this agenda item is to request the board hold a public hearing, and here we are. Okay, now let's not all rush to the podium at once.
Yeah. Doesn't look like anyone would like to speak. So,
actually, I realize we have to do it, but it's going to be chaotic at the high schools in order to make this happen, because it's going to happen in the fall of the year when school starts, and it's just going to be again, very chaotic, trying to change master scheduling. I understand it's something that we have to do, but the implementation of it is going to be very, very difficult.
I would add that we had teachers who helped with the formulation of this placement policy, so they are very familiar with the requirements, and so hopefully that will help ease that transition.
We'll accept it now. Okay. All right. Okay. That's by Mr. Crawford. Is there a second? Okay, Mr. Daniel seconds. All those in favor of closing the motion or the hearing? Aye. Any nays? Okay. We closed the public hearing. And now we need a motion to adopt Board Policy 6152.1. Mr. Crawford moves to approve the motion, or motion is to approve. Is there a second?
Sir.
Seconded by Mr. Harris. All those in favor? Aye. Any nays? Okay. Personnel Services number one. 2016-17 initial bargaining proposal from the MJUSD to MUTA, and we are holding a public hearing, so it's now open. Don't all rush up at once again. If there's no discussion, further discussion?
No questions or comments, I'll make a motion to close the public hearing.
Mr. Harris moves to close the public hearing. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Crawford. All those in favor? Aye. Unanimous. Okay. Maintenance, operations, and transportation. Resolution 2015-16-20, school bus retrofit program.
That's the only four buses we had that fit the criteria. The funds available are $80,000. What we need is $73,000. So it's 100% funded.
These are like filters, right?
It's kind of like a.
How long would they last? Would we have to replace them every year, or is it?
No. The ones that we have right now, that we've had them on 10 years, and we have the two cleaning stations, so it works pretty well for us. We bring them through and we clean them on a regular interval. So we've only replaced two out of 15, so they work pretty good. And we, a year or two from now, we'll put in for a grant for replacement ones to replace some of these so that we'll have them on hand.
Okay.
So it's worked well. We just have the regulations that we have to operate within, just like the trucking industry. We have the problem that we have with our fleet is that we have the six buses that have the 692 Detroits that there's no particulate trap available for. So we keep putting in for those on the grants, hoping to get the buses replaced. I'd much rather have a new bus than a particulate trap to put on an old bus. They're a little hesitant to give us money on all of them. This round with the local air board with Feather River, we put in for two particulate trap retrofits and for two of the big buses that we could replace, but we didn't get any funding for them. Generally, though, we take the lion's share of that, so I've got no complaint. They've been really good to us. And with these, we'll get these four on, and then we'll move up to the next four that we have. We actually have 11 buses right now that still need to have a particulate trap or be replaced, and we're working in that direction with every grant that's available.
Good.
Okay. Any questions, comments further?
No questions or comments. I'll make a motion to the chair.
Okay. Mr. Harris moves to approve a motion to pass Resolution 2015-16-20. Seconded by Mr. Fleury. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any nays? None. Unanimous. Facilities and Energy Management Department, change order number two for the Lyndhurst project increment. This is going to be kind of, I have a couple of questions about this one. Come on up. Ryan, you...
Well, the summary of it.
Okay, well, how about the questions? Okay, well, first is a comment. Okay, this is the second change order, and
yes.
I'm going back into the past, in years past, when the change order started coming, and I see that we haven't exceeded the amount, but the question is, what's the next change order that we can foresee?
We don't foresee any large change orders. There might be one or two smaller change orders, but this seems to be the last... the project's almost completed, so we don't anticipate. The reason we put the 10% is that's analogous to when we used to have the contingency amounts on the leasebacks.
Does it prolong the project
at all? We had to do it. We didn't prolong it. A lot of the work's been done. The reason we had to bring change order two after the fact is we needed to log the time and materials with the DSA inspector because the soil conditions, you know, requires you to compact them and make sure you have them compacted too. Had those enclosures.
So, Ryan, what is the completion date projection again? Because I thought earlier on it was now.
Substantial completion is mid-April. There were a little bit delay in receiving the units for Building F. They received the buildings in Unit C, so we should substantial completion in April, and then we'll have a period to close it out and do the punch list. So mid-April we're looking at still.
Can you give a brief overview of this change order? It seems to me this was a lot of the same stuff that we did in change order one.
Okay, change order one was for the enclosures themselves. So what we did is we had to expand. They had, if you recall, the initial design carrier kind of changed because of the rep. They wanted us to push out those enclosures to the completely outside to let airflow go for the units. And so we had to put in a whole new concrete pad and then put fencing around that. And there was a couple small other items that were unrelated to those enclosures. This has to do with the soil in those areas. There was very muddy soil that, obviously, if you try to pour a concrete pad over, it would collapse and possibly have sinkholes and those kind of issues. We had to tear it down to the hard pan, then bring in new dirt and compact it so that you could put the concrete on. The reason this is coming after the fact with those, the first change order is because, again, we had to make sure we logged all the time and materials. So this is underneath those enclosures. Change order one was for the enclosures.
When I was reviewing change order one, it had to do with digging the hole and the aggregate and the wet soil. Seems to me we already covered that in change order one.
Perhaps that was a misnomer in wording, but change order one was for the actual enclosures, the cement pads and the fencing. They're in unison because you need both of them to complete that whole enclosure structure. So maybe that's where the confusion lies, but they're two separate items. So one is for the actual enclosure, again, the construction and the added materials for that enclosure, and one is for the soil underneath. This is for the soil underneath.
So these change orders do come through your office and you're agreeing with them? And
yeah, myself and Ms. Jensen, she obviously is track of the project day to day. I go to the weekly construction meetings. We review it as a team. Our architect sees it. Our DSA inspector sees it. So it's definitely something that is vetted before it ever comes here. And usually there's many light items or even separate individual kind of potential change orders, and they're amalgamated into one change order. So it's usually a few items.
Thank you.
No, it's not because of the rain. Usually their conditions, if the farm, I mean, I'm sure Lyndhurst was built on land that must have been used in our agriculture before. It's not uncommon, even in Southern California, where I've had a lot of experience doing construction projects, you have, even in areas you're like, well, Southern California, well, it wasn't always a metropolis. There are a lot of areas that used to be farms, horse stables. I've seen a lot of soil conditions. It's not uncommon if it was used as agricultural land anywhere in the last couple hundred years to have.
Is it still that at Lyndhurst a long time? Is it still that gray, red clay?
Yeah, it's like a reddish clay, yeah.
Thank you.
And you say you think we're going to come in under the 10%?
I would project at this point, yes.
Okay. Would anybody care to make any, if no other comments, a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Okay, Mr. Fleury moves to pass change order number 2. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Mr. Crawford seconds. Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any nays? Unanimous. Okay, business services, number 1, agreement and engagement letters with Christy White Associates for auditing services. That would go to Ryan.
So prior, we had asked permission to go out for a request for proposals for audit services. It covers both district-wide was the focus, but they also cover services as we close out our last Prop 39 Measure D bond, Measure P bond. And so we had a process. We had 7 submittals. 1 was non-responsive. Of the 6 that were responsive, we invited 4 for 5 for interviews. And we had 8, sorry. 1 was non-responsive. 7 out of the 7, we invited 5 for interviews. And we had an interview panel, and it says, you know, the different players that were part of that panel, and that was 1 evaluative criteria, as long as proposal fees, experience, and ultimately their references. Based on that criteria, we tabulated the rankings that are proposed to you, and Christy White Associates were the top evaluated firm, and so we're recommending a contract with them to cover both the district-wide audit and the Prop 39 audit.
Okay, I think this is an entirely new firm. I don't think we've ever dealt with them before.
Yeah, we checked the references. They have their main offices in Southern California, but they have an office in the Bay Area. I checked with Northern California references. They have good references down Southern California, which I knew of, but I checked with some, and myself and Ms. Pasalia checked with references in Northern California to see if that was an issue. It wasn't. They were very happy with their services.
Okay. Thank you, Ryan. Anybody care to make a motion to approve?
I'll make a motion.
Mr. Crawford moves to approve. Is there a second? Okay. Mr. Fleury seconds the motion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any nays? Okay. Technology department, number 1. Bid award, multi-site E-rate cabling project.
We came to you a short while ago to ask for permission to go for a bid for a couple of things. One is cabling. We found that our buildings are really old. And so when we first went out and put Wi-Fi in, we tried to go every other room, and that worked. We have coverage everywhere. What we're finding as we go more and more and we get more and more devices on, and we're getting more and more devices on every day, it only takes a single wall with brick and metal in the middle of it to break a signal up. And so we're finding that a room that has an access point in it is working fantastically. The room next to it, even though it gets a signal and it looks like it's got 3 bars like all of us look on our phone, those 3 bars are there 98% of the time, but the 2% of the time it drops when we're doing something important like testing, those 2% matter. And so we're actually going now and putting an access point in every single room to make sure that we don't have those issues with the older buildings that we have and the amount of metal we have in our structures. We're making sure that we have every single room covered entirely, and that's what this is for. The nice thing about this is it's E-rate. They've changed the funding mechanism a little bit. We now can actually go to every single school, whereas before we had to kind of pick and choose our schools to make sure we got the right percentages. Now we can go every single school, and the expectation is we haven't done this yet with the new funding mechanism that started last year, but the expectation is we're going to get about 86% discounts, whatever it is. So you'll see the total amount there. We're only going to have to pay 14% of that. That's the expectation. So
for $350,000, give or take, you're going to correct the same mistakes I have on a daily basis in my house?
I'm sorry.
Got to get better and dial up, buddy.
Other questions?
Yeah, any other questions or comments? The board will entertain a motion. Anybody care to make a motion? Mr. Boom. Too late. Mr. Boom got that one. Okay. And we'll take a second. Okay. Mr. Crawford seconds. All those in favor? Aye. Okay. We'd like to close the meeting in memory of two of our former employees, William Lewis. Okay, is that husband of
son
of Karen Lewis, who worked in the district office all these years, and Hayden Elliott. Mother of Megan Handy Foothill. It seems like we're getting more than one of these every meeting. It's a little scary. With that, adjourned.